Blog Talk Radio.
I pray everybody's had a blessed week. Shalom, Sister Mary.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
How you doing, my sister?
I'm doing great, brother.
Amen, amen, amen. I am fine, trying to get ready to get out of here, to get on this plane this early this morning, going to South Carolina, getting ready for the feast days, celebrating my 30th anniversary. Busy times.
Busy times.
Amen. Right now it's you and I.
Huh?
I said right now it's just you and I. We're gonna see if anybody else comes on. If not, it'll be you and I.
It's just you and I. You know I'm dedicated.
Amen.
I'm not playing.
Amen. Amen to that.
That's why I say I don't understand what they're in it for or whatever. But hey.
Well, we pray they're in it to get the kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, nevertheless, if it's you and I, it's you and I.
That's good enough for me.
Amen. Amen. You got to do the necessary. You know, I pray, you know, a lot of people get upset about a lot of little things. They don't want to be told about certain things. But nevertheless, I got to tell the truth.
I know that's right.
No matter what.
That's like they get mad at me too, Brother Miles, because I get it when the books say the Father is over Jesus. Jesus is over
Amen.
The man. The man is over the woman. The woman is over the kids. I understand that. And I understand that from the man down to the kids, we out of order.
Amen. Yeah, we are totally out of order.
Totally.
We have been out of order for a while. Shalom,
it's
Sister Maria.
This little boy that lives down the hall, and every morning at 6 o'clock, this kid come down the hall screaming and hollering. For no reason. He just do it. So the other morning, I opened my door and I told him, you can't do that. That's not right. I said, because the people are sleeping, you know, you can't do all that hollering. And he kept trying not to look at me. I told him, no. You look at me when I'm talking to you. I just told him to open up his mouth. And then the next day he came down the hall, he didn't do it. So I'm going to give him a reward for him being a big boy. I have all kind of popsicles and junk in my refrigerator. So I gave him a popsicle. I said, say thank you. And he looked at me like I was speaking German or something. And I kept saying, say thank you. Do you know what this boy's mother told me? Oh, well, see, he don't know nothing about thank you. I said, excuse me? Oh, that's right. He ain't in daycare. I guess I got to teach him that. Brother Miles, I was stunned. Like I told Sister Denise, I must have stood at that lady's door just trying to figure out what did I miss, because I had to miss something in this conversation.
Well, you know, if the parents don't teach them,
they're
not going to know. And it seems today that people are dependent upon the system to teach their children things that they ought to be teaching.
That's what they're doing.
You know,
exactly what they
do. Just can't do that. You know, the parents have a responsibility, just like the system has a responsibility, and you got to know, you know, what is the difference between, you know, what we're responsible for and then what we try to put on the system.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I've always been of the mindset, I don't want the system teaching my children morals.
Absolutely.
I want them teaching them, you know, how to be polite. That's something that they should get at home.
Absolutely.
And that, you know, each parent is responsible to teach their children that.
Absolutely.
Now, when they, you know, if they get out in the street and they do something different, when they're older, you know, as long as you've done what you're supposed to do,
right? Then that's on them.
Yeah, too many people are counting on the TV and, you know, the internet and the system to teach their children, and they don't want to take responsibility themselves and teach them, you know, right from wrong, and to teach them proper discipline. So,
absolutely.
You know, again, can't say everybody, but the truth of the matter is it's going on enough now that when the system gets our children, you know, a lot of people are, they just depend upon the system too much.
Yes, they do.
For things that they ought to, you know, do themselves. But then, you know, a lot of times they don't have that discipline within themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So they can't teach it to the children. And that's a, you know, that's a very common thing today. You know, even within the last 20 years, people just, you know, don't feel like they need to discipline their kids, don't teach them any standards.
Nope.
And then when the kid get out there and, you know, is wild, then, you know, then they want to, that's when they want to start complaining.
Right.
But the
truth
of the matter is, things start when you are, when you're young. So, you know, I pray that those who are coming to the Most High, that they, you know, even if they're younger, if they got young kids, I hope that they are turn around and re-looking at how they are raising their children.
Yeah.
You know, while they can, while they're still malleable, while they're still able to be trained, you know, even if you've been doing it wrong, doesn't mean that you can't start correcting it.
Absolutely.
But, you know, once your kids are grown, you can't really tell them anything. They're grown.
Yeah, that's true.
And a lot of the times, you know, people are still trying to mother or father their children like their children when they are already grown. At that point,
right.
You know, you got to let them, hey, you know right from wrong. If you choose to go down that path, then you're choosing to live with the consequences of it.
These people are just all,
you know, to treat them like a child once they're grown. And, I, you know, I see that a lot, too. I even see my wife doing that. I'm like, look, your children are grown. They're not children, you know, they're not kids anymore.
Right.
And even though they still stay in this house, you got to also treat them age appropriate. So you can't, you know, try to control them like you did when they were younger. Because
right.
The only thing they're going to do is rebel. You know, don't, you know, they, you know, the scriptures tell us don't provoke our children to anger.
Right.
You know, so, you know, we got a responsibility, just like they have one. You know, I had to show my son, cause I said, look, dude, you walking up on me like you want to do something, that ain't going to work. You're going to find out a whole different me.
Huh. I know,
so
that's
I had to
right.
show him in the scripture. Says that if you even think about doing this, you're supposed to die.
You're supposed to die.
And I let him read it. You know, he had to read it a couple of times. I said, so, you know, don't ever think that I'm coming at you just to be coming at you with something or I'm telling you something. I said, I don't ever want to take you to this place. But I said, but if you think you're man enough to try to take me like you looking like sometimes, then you'll see a whole different me. Because, you know, kids, you know, they at some point they get to where they want to challenge. They want to challenge your authority.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know why my father said all the boys had to go when they were 18. You're a man now. Get out. You know, in case, you know, we want to challenge him or whatever. So I know why he did that. But, you know, no matter how well you bring your children up, there come a point where at some point or another, they feel like they want to challenge your position and your authority.
Right.
You know, I told my kids, I'm not the one. You don't want to go there
right.
with me.
I know that's right.
You know, you'll see a whole different me.
Because,
somebody
you know, everybody is
before.
Excited about the kids going back to school this year and all that, but they're not realizing how many teachers that them took early retirement, and there's some
mm-hmm.
teachers that them flat out quit. Because, number one, they, it's mandated that you take the shot if you go back in the classroom. And a lot of people
don't want to take that shot.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. It's, you know, speaking of that, I think I woke up about 2-3 o'clock this morning, and I got a page, but then I got a page for work, but then I had flipped it up, and then it was this article about COVID, a strain of COVID in South America that they say is that the shot can't do nothing for it. And so they're worried about it spreading out of South America. Because the shot won't do anything for this next version that they got coming up.
Well,
you know,
I think the people that need to try to figure out these side effects, because my sister had a headache the other day, and she said her eyes kept running, and she didn't know why she kept yawning, and she said, I just don't understand, and I'm tired, and that's not my sister. My older sister is very energetic. She likes being outside. She likes driving a car. Now she sits in the house.
I told y'all,
better check out vitals.
Did she take the shot?
Yes, she did.
Yeah, so you don't never know.
Never know. The majority of my family. And me and my niece were saying, now, we got to sit and watch them, whatever they're going to go through with this shot thing. I said, yeah. She said, because they can't get it out their system. I said, no.
Right, no. Once you take it, you know, you've taken it. A lot of people have taken it and don't want nobody to know they took it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the truth of the matter is, like I said, I can't tell anybody what to do. I can only tell you what I'm going to do.
Right.
And what I'm not going to do, and I'm not going to take those shots.
No.
Know? So it's just like me getting ready to travel, and, you know, they're saying the CDC said anybody that hasn't taken a shot shouldn't travel this weekend. If they think I'm going to throw away my money that I paid 3 months ago, they're crazy.
I know that's right.
You know, the Most High has me. He already knows that this was a special occasion, because other than that, I would not be going out. I wanted to take my wife to Hawaii because, you know, it was, you know, that's one in a lifetime trip, at least for me.
Right.
And 30 years is a long time to be married. So I said, you know, I told her, hey, my goal was to take you to Hawaii. But then we looked at the flights, we looked at how long they were and how long you're going to be on the plane, yada, yada, yada. And she wasn't too keen on going. I said, well, you know, if you're not too keen on going, then where you want to go? She said, well, why not we just go where we met at, and then we don't have to worry about taking all these COVID tests and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I said, all right. I said, if that's where you want to go, that's where we'll go. But, you know, what we got to be prepared for is what is coming. Because,
absolutely.
As I said, this is not the worst of it. It's only going to get worse and worse.
And worse and worse.
And, you know, the Most High told me that from the very beginning. You know, there's this judgment to call people to repentance. And they just keep trying to take a shot and get from under it, get around it.
Right.
Don't want to repent. Don't want to give the Most High credit. Don't want to say, you know, anything that you got that is global, you have to look at the religious implications behind it.
You have to.
And most people don't truly believe in the God of the Bible, the Elohim of the Bible. They don't really believe in the plagues and stuff that are in there. They don't believe,
in
the Revelation.
They believe in Jesus. Jesus loves me. He loves me.
Right.
And you know what I ask them? Do you love him?
Amen. Because if you did, why aren't you
do
keeping
you
the commandments?
Right.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and proceed with this this business meeting.
Okay.
As I said, you know, we got people who, I guess, people are just finicky. If you say don't worship Mother Nature, you got people take offense to that. I'm like, well, how could you take offense to that?
Right.
Don't worship Mother Nature. Shouldn't take offense to that. But if you practice in that and that's what you're doing and, you know, that's coming out your mouth, And you don't realize, just like the Easter Bunny or anything else, that it is a form of deifying, making a deity out of the earth, mother,
yeah.
You know, the Mother Earth or Mother Nature, that is a form of worship, and there are religions based upon that. And so, you know, a lot of our people, I guess you're trying to do something. Trying to do something right, but then you can try to be doing something right and still be doing a wrong,
yeah.
You know, and so it ain't nothing wrong with eating healthy. Not speaking against that. Ain't nothing wrong with growing crops. And the thing is who do you give the thanks for all of that? You can't give Mother Nature no credit for nothing.
For nothing.
You can't give the earth any credit for anything.
All from the Father.
And so when we start, you know, Mother Nature this or Mother Earth that, and, you know, we get upset if somebody says something about it, my job is to keep you away from that stuff.
Right.
Because, you know, we think some things are innocent and they're not. And we don't want to worship nobody but Elohim.
That's all for me.
So, you know, my job as the shepherd is to make sure that we don't go down that path, that we don't even be entertaining that stuff. Because it seems innocent, but it is not. It is giving his glory to something else.
Right.
And so, you know, if people get upset about that, oh well. Let them go ahead and continue to do what they're doing. But they won't do it up under me.
Like when you was reading the laws, and it said that if you have a rebellious child, to take them to the elders, and if the elders can't straighten them out, the elders are supposed to stone them. The lady said, I don't think I can do that. Well, see, that's our problem.
Right. Well, see, that was the whole reason behind that. That's the very thing the Most High accused us of. He said, these are my, you know, when he showed it to me, trust me, it was just an eye-opener. When he said, these are my judgments. Now, and then he turns around and says, now, you went and made your judgments more righteous than mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, how'd they do that most time? How exactly did our forefathers do that? But then when we started reading the judgments, and I realized that he said, hey, if you have this situation, this is my judgment. And then you turn around and say, well, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to do something else. Then you made your righteousness over his.
Over his, that's right.
You know, and so I realized, you know, what he was saying and what he's saying to us. I've given you judgment already. I've already determined. In these situations, this is how you're going to judge. You don't get to override that.
No.
You don't get to make up, you know, whatever you want to do. Because if you do, then you set your righteousness over his. So he says, do X. No, I'm going to do Y.
Right.
He says, do Y. No, I'm going to do Z. And that's exactly what people have done. That's exactly what Israel did. And that's what people do today.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm looking at it. I'm saying, okay, Mosiah, I hear you and I see what you're saying. And I don't want to be accused of that. I don't want to be, you know, like I said, I can't hold nobody accountable but me.
I know that's
and
right,
so
bro.
When I know to do better, you know, if the situation comes up, then that's the way it's going to be. Because I can't say, tell you to do one thing, or I know the Most High says to do this, but I'm going to do something different. I just did exactly what our forefathers did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, no, I'm not the one on that. I can't be the one on that. Can't be. The Most High put me in a position of being the head, and then I'm going to not follow him, and then teach you not to follow him too. No, I can't make anybody do anything. Only thing I can do is teach it as it is in the book and with his blessings. So, you know, I pray that people hear this because we're saying a lot of things. I hate to say and don't do.
Amen.
That's me. I hate to say and don't do.
Amen.
And I hate to know that I'm supposed to be doing something and I'm not doing it.
I'm not doing it because my conscience.
It bothers me. And, I got a situation now, like with my younger brother. I need to handle some business with him, but I got to come to terms with it. You know, I didn't think that what we were going through bothered me as much as it did, but it did. So, but, I told him I was going to do something, so I got to do it. And it's going to bother me until I do. But the truth of the matter is, we when I see it in this word, and, I've always tried to hold myself accountable. Can't hold nobody else accountable, but I can hold myself accountable. So when I saw that the Most High says, you have a zeal about you to worship me, to serve me, but not according to knowledge.
Not according to knowledge.
And then he go turn around and say, you being ignorant of Elohim's righteousness, went about to establish your own and did not submit yourself to the righteousness of Elohim. So Most High, show me what they did. Go back. Okay, you said do this. They didn't do that. You said do this. They didn't do that. You said do this. They didn't do that. Made up what they wanted to make up. And this is what people are doing today.
Yeah.
And so that's
why when they came out of Egypt, if the earth opened up and took half of them.
Amen. Because they were stiff-necked and hard-hearted.
Right. That's right.
Wanting to, murmur and complain and do what they wanted to do, but not what he said to do. So,
right.
it is what it is. I know that the scripture says that many are called and few are chosen. And then even amongst the chosen, I'm finding that if they truly are chosen, they may have problems with some of this as well. And so, I want to be, and the Most High has shown me, that to be the elect. To be the elect of the Most High, you cannot be disobedient.
Cannot. No, you can't.
Just cannot.
No, you can't.
So if he says, do this, then that's what you got to do.
That's what you do. And Brother Miles, if he has told you and you do something, he will correct you. He will make you know what you did was wrong.
Amen. Well, if you know what the word says and the situation comes up and you know what you're supposed to do and you don't, trust me, you ain't going to be able to be comfortable with yourself.
Nope. And
you're
I know that person.
You're be comfortable with yourself because you'll know that you're in disobedience.
Right. And I know that personally because I worked at the Head Start and they have like these baby wipes. And I didn't think about it, I got a baby wipe for my classroom, I got one for me. So I brought the baby wipes home, and I couldn't even open them. Everywhere I went in my house, I seen them baby wipes. I had to take
Amen.
Them wipes back to that place and let them people know that I took them baby wipes. That was my last time taking anything.
Amen.
So when
let's get started here so we can finish this up. We are still in the body government. Let us do our statement of faith. All right, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Father. We lift you up. We magnify you. We give you all the glory, Father, for truly you are worthy. You are worthy. Father, we thank you for what you do for us. We thank you for keeping us. We thank you for providing for us. Hallelujah. We thank you for securing us. We will not worship anybody else but you, O Yah. No one else but you, Father. For you are our Elohim. And it's your voice that we will obey. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. The book of Psalms, chapter 133. The book of Psalms, chapter 133, verses 1 through 3. All right, amen. Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the beard that ran down upon, it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. And as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descendeth upon Mount Zion, for there Yah commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. Amen and amen. I make a motion that we call this meeting to order. Do I have a second?
I second.
All right, amen. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? All right, the ayes have it. Thank you. All right, we're going to go ahead and proceed here. But as I said, I'm starting getting calls from other people that want to be ordained and that want to minister. They don't believe 100% the way that I believe, but I've known these people for years, and I know that they're faithful to the word. So I want to go ahead and finish this up so that I can actually start ordaining ministers in this word, as Yah has told me to do. He's also telling me that soon here I'm going to have to start traveling to preach this word. And so I also need to be ready for that. So that, you know, we can do the necessary. I have to, you know, put boots on the ground. You know, I'm not going to tell somebody to go and I won't go. And so, but, you know, I'm going to go at the direction of the Most High. Don't want to go on my own accord and do what it is that, you know, I think he wants me to do. I want to do what I know he wants me to do. as I am directed. All right, we are still in the body, government, and we talked about the authority of the high priest. We talked about Messiah being the head of the body, and you know, and he's the chief shepherd, and that he designates different people to look over his body. Tells us not to lord it over his body, that we shouldn't lord it over his body, but that we should be examples. So I can't tell you to do something that I won't do myself. I can't ask you to do something that I wouldn't be willing to do myself.
Amen.
And I can't lord it over you, direct you or command you to do something as though I had authority over you. Okay, that's lording over his body. But we are to be able to chastise. We are to be able to exhort. We are to be able to discipline. And so we're not doing things from the position of that we are lording over you, but we're doing things from the position of we are watching for your soul. So if you're doing something you ought not be doing and you're told that you need to stop doing it, then you are to respect the authority that the Most High has placed in those people that he puts in positions of authority. I hope that we can hear the difference.
Amen.
Because, you know, trust me, I don't want to be telling people what to do with their lives. I don't want to be having to tell you that you need to straighten up. You ought to be able to hear the word of the Most High, and it should convict you to straighten up. But if you are not straightening up and you're struggling in an area, then it's not beyond me to tell you, hey, you need to stop that. And this is why. And it's not trying to lord it over you. This is for your good and for the good of the body. You know, if I got a brother out here chasing the women, and I see him chasing the women in the congregation, I, as the head, have to tell him, hey, you can't be doing that, brother. You can't be out here chasing the women, trying to put this pressure on them, trying to, you know, get them to fall. If you want to do that, you need to go back out in the world. You need to get away from here, because I won't let you do that. And I'm watching out for your soul, but their soul too. So if I see somebody bringing in, you know, bringing in the worship of another deity, I can't sit there and just say, oh, you know, they'll get by it or they'll get over it. Because the Most High commands me not to do that. The Most High commands me that when I hear it, I have to address it.
Amen.
In the scriptures, you know, it would say, hey, you got somebody that's doing that, then you are supposed to be the first one to grab them by the hand, drag them, and you be the first one to throw the first stone if they're telling you to worship somebody else other than the Most High. Now, we can't exactly do that literally. In this time and place, but we surely can't be putting up with it and allowing it to, you know, to go forth like it's nothing. So, you know, those types of things, from a position of a shepherd, from the position of pastor that the Most High has assigned me to, then it is my job to do that. If somebody's coming up saying that they're worshiping something else, someone else, I can't just be quiet about that. Whether, you know, you got some people just bold. And I'm like, well, you can be bold as you want to be, but you won't be that bold around here and be staying around here. That's not going to work. Okay. So the under-shepherd, which is the highest position for a man in the church, which is the pastor, He has to be in submission to who? Messiah. And if he's not in submission to Messiah, then you really shouldn't be putting yourself in position in submission to him.
Amen.
So, it is this authority that the Most High has in his body. It's just like as the pastor, I got to also recognize that the Most High gives you authority. And he can speak through you. And so let me just read this to you, because this is where we stopped at last week. The priestly authority of the people. Okay. The chief priests and the Zaquan are the elders, must recognize the priesthood of each believer. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. The book of 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to get verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9.
Amen.
But you, my brother and my sister, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of Elohim, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Each of us is a priest, priestess. Each of us, if we're filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Most High can speak through us. And that has to be respected. The Most High can give you a word for me. I have to be humble enough to be able to receive that. There's no way that I can believe that the Most High only talks to me and no one else. No way that any man or woman in the church can believe that. Can't be that and be the servant of the Most High. And so we've got to recognize that authority. Let's go to the book of Revelations, chapter 1. The book of Revelations, chapter 1. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
The book of Revelations, chapter 1 and verse 6, and has made us, not Brother Miles by himself, not the bishop or whoever, but made us kings and priests unto Elohim and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we are supposed to be a nation of kings and priests. We're supposed to be a nation of holy people. Okay, and this day we must be filled with the Ruach, with the Holy Spirit. Different than before. Before he only poured it out on the kings and the prophets. He says in these last days, I'm going to pour it out on all people. That don't mean that everybody got it, but it's available to them if they come to him correct.
Amen.
If he chooses them to pour out his Spirit upon them. Then we got to understand that we are all equal in that regard. And that the Most High can use any of us. But he still has the structure there. He still has men or women that he places in position of authority. And all the saints have to submit themselves to that authority. Even though they are kings and priests of their own right. Still have to be in submission and have to be in the place where the Most High puts you at. where he puts me at. And so we got to understand this. So, you know, I'm never puffed up concerning any of this, because the Most High can use whomever he wants to use. And if he's in every person, if he truly is in the people, then he can speak through whomever he wants to speak through. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. The book of Revelation, chapter 5, and verse 10. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
And has made us unto our Elohim kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Again, these scriptures are talking to those people that qualify for those positions. And I've shown over and over and over again in the scripture, everybody does not get a crown of rulership. Not the first 1,000 years. You got to qualify for that. And just believing in him does not qualify you for that. You know, so, you know, I have to show people in the scripture what he promises everyone. But then these people who qualify for these crowns, these positions of authority, these thrones, we read it on the other night. You have to be willing to suffer with him. He tells you how you have to suffer. Your suffering is going to be the same way he suffered, unto death. A lot of us don't want to die for this gospel. A lot of us, you know, we want the crown and we want the throne, but we want it to just be given to us, and we didn't have to prove ourselves in any kind of way. We weren't qualified. We didn't suffer like he did. So when he says that you have to be beheaded for the word of Elohim or for the witness of Christ to rule with him, that's what he means. You got to die. And to everyone else, you're going to get 100-fold of whatever you gave up, plus the crown of life. And see, the church has made this crown of life the same crown as the crown of being on the throne with him, reigning with him. But he tells us who gets to reign with him. So you can get eternal life, and you can get 100-fold of whatever you gave up and be in the kingdom. Doesn't mean that you're getting a throne, okay, to sit on with him. Doesn't mean that you get to reign with him 1,000 years or one day. Doesn't mean that. So if we want to reign with him, then you got to be willing to suffer with him. You got to be all in, 100%, even unto the giving of your life. Literally. And so I know that the churches teach that, you know, everybody's going to get up the first resurrection and reign with him 1,000 years. I can show them the contrary in the book. Okay, so they have taught. They have taught people a lie, and they have taught them, they have deceived them. But, you know, the thing is people want to fill up the pulpits. So if I, you know, teach you that you're going to get a crown and you're going to reign with him 1,000 years, and I teach you all these blessings that the scripture says you got to qualify for it, but I don't tell you got to qualify for them. All I got to do is tell you that that's what you're going to get. And people are going to read the scripture, and they're just going to read that part of it because they want to feel good. They want to feel like they got a chance to do this. But then don't even worry about or don't even consider what do they have to do to qualify. A lot of people will read those verses, they'll read the verse, but never hear they got to suffer with him. If you want this, you got to suffer with him. Okay? So I ask people all the time, and I'll ask you the same question. If the Most High doesn't resurrect you during the first resurrection, and he resurrects you the second resurrection and gives you eternal life, has he kept his promise to you?
Yep.
He's kept
yes,
it.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
You know, but people want that. They want that crown. They want that throne. They want to rule. But they don't want to suffer. Don't want to have to go through nothing. Don't want to have to prove themselves. Don't want to have to be committed. We just want the blessings. Just bless me. So, you know, we have to understand that the scriptures teach us that I'm not to rule it over you. My job is to teach you. My job, if you allow, is to pastor you. And I'm not trying to force my way on that. That's something that, because each person has to submit themselves.
Amen.
You know, so if they don't submit, then, you know, I'm not going to say I'm their pastor, because the truth of the matter is, if I'm your pastor, then I got to go before the Most High at the great white throne judgment and give an account of you. And if you never submitted yourself, I'm going to say, well, Most High, they were never mine. They did what they wanted to do. They didn't ever submit. That would have to be my testimony. But if they submit themselves and say, hey, yeah, you're my pastor, and I'm going to obey the Most High in you, then I'll say, okay, then I have to watch for your soul. I have to make sure that you are doing the necessary and as much as you will allow. And if you're doing wrong, and I tell you that you're doing wrong and that you ought to stop, and you stop, then you are doing what the Most High said for you to do. To submit yourselves to them that have rule over you. And so, you know, we've read these verses before. I don't want to harp on them over and over again. I'm letting you know that the Most High says that you are a king and a priest as well. But if he doesn't put you in that position, even as a king and a priest, you have to submit yourself to those that he gives the authority. And that's, you know, something that is hard for people to do. And I, you know, I understand why, because people have been through a lot. They've been tricked. They've been bamboozled. They've been lied to. And so I don't expect nobody just to give me their trust. You have to look and see the Most High in me. And if you can't see that, then you shouldn't submit yourself. So, you know, only to those that he assigns to me. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. The book of Revelation chapter 20. And I want to read verses 1 through 6 here, because this is important for a lot of people. Okay. And I saw an angel come down. Oh, let me have an amen if you're there. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1. Everybody
amen.
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 Amen. Thank you. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So we're going to have Michael the archangel come down. He's going to lay a hold on Satan. He's going to bind him. He ain't going to have no power. He's going to cast him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. That's one day to Elohim. I'm going to throw him in the pit, and he ain't going to have no ability to affect anybody. Can't say the devil made me do it. and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. So for a whole 1,000 years or a day, he can't deceive anyone. He's out of commission. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Most High is going to bind him. I'm telling you, if you read this whole thing, the Most High is going to take Satan out of the way. He's going to rule the people for 1,000 years, and then secretly in their heart, they don't want to obey the Most High. They don't like being ruled with that rod of iron. They rebel, and not just a few of them. Hold on. Shalom, Aki. I'm in the middle of a lesson. I'll give you a call back after. Yeah, I'll call you back and talk to you about it. All right. Okay. All right. So he cast him into the lake, into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. I want you to understand that the one who is ruling at this time is Messiah. I'm going to show you the hearts of men. I'm going to show you how people are. Okay? And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Now, who's the them? And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Anybody here been beheaded yet?
No, not yet.
I'm glad you're the only one that ain't been beheaded yet. Because you got to qualify. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of Elohim, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads. And they, the ones who had been beheaded, the ones who were beheaded for the witness of Elohim and for the word of Elohim and were witness of Christ and didn't worship the beast. Now, if you don't worship the beast, he's going to have you killed. Okay?
Amen.
Neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, 1,000 years. Where are the rest of the saints at? Where are all the saints that never died for the word of Yah? Where are all the saints that received salvation and went to their grave? Where are they at? They're still in their grave. Because it's only those people who qualify, who don't take the mark of the beast, who give their lives for the word of Yah or for the testimony of Christ, literally suffer with him, they get to reign with him 1,000 years. Let's keep going. Verse 5, where are the rest of the dead? But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. On them, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of Elohim and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, let me go get something else so that we understand. Because I don't want, I want us to know the truth. I don't want you believing a lie. I don't want you to fall away because you felt like you got bamboozled. You felt like you got cheated. I think it's going on with my keyboard. Come on. Let's see. Am I spelling that right? Okay, give me one moment here. What are the reasons I can't pull it up this way? But I want us to have the proper expectation. I want us to have truth. Because people have just been flat out lied to. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 10. The book of Mark, chapter 10. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. The book of Mark, chapter 10. And we're going to be getting verses, let's start down at verse 27 is not relevant either. All right. The book of Mark, chapter 10, starting in verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, now I want you to understand what Peter is about to ask, okay? Peter is about to ask him, he's going to say, We have left all. This is what Peter's saying. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all. And have followed you. And Yeshua answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, or brethren, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, and the gospel's. But he shall receive how much?
100-fold.
100-fold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come, eternal life.
Amen.
So whatever you give up for Messiah, you get 100-fold of whatever you gave up plus eternal life. Did he say a crown here?
No, he didn't.
Did he say a throne here?
No, he didn't.
You get 100-fold. If you're not willing to die for the word of Yah or for the testimony of Christ, if you cannot, if you take the mark of the beast, none of this applies to you anyway. You're going to the lake, period. So all those who don't take the mark of the beast, they're going to be killed. But if you can't do that, if you can't suffer with him like he suffered unto death. He's telling you in Revelation chapter 20, you got to suffer unto death too in order to get that throne. But in order to get your eternal life, you don't have to do that. If you lived, you got filled with the Ruach and you lived all that you could for him and you still didn't literally die for him, you get 100-fold plus eternal life. Your name is going to be found in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
So let's go back to Revelation chapter 20. Everybody see that you get 100-fold there.
Amen.
Plus eternal life. That's what you get. Now let's go back to Revelation chapter 20. Because a lot of people just preaching falsehoods. They want you to be excited, but you should be excited that you get an eternal life and that you are entering into the kingdom. You may not be able to reign with him. You may not be able to get a throne. Okay? So, verse 5 again. So we look now. I'm gonna read verses, since you see that everybody who gives up stuff for Messiah, what he promises you is a hundredfold plus eternal life. Okay, understand that that's what you get. Verse 4. And I saw the thrones, and they sat upon them. Got to know who them is. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of Elohim, which had not worshipped the beast. If you don't worship the beast, you're going to be beheaded. You're going to be killed. Neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This group of people, those that were willing to suffer with him, that didn't love their lives unto the end, that understood, you know what, when Antichrist comes, I can't take that mark. And if I don't take that mark and if Elohim don't deliver me, I'm going to die. And you got to be willing to die. But if you die, you're going to get raised the first resurrection. Because you qualify, because you suffered with him. See, people want a throne, but they don't want to suffer for the throne. They don't want to have to earn the throne. They don't want to have to go through nothing. But the Elohim we serve, that's not who he is. So you don't just get to walk up on a throne because you believe in Messiah. You get eternal life. You get a hundredfold of whatever you gave up. But you don't get this throne if you don't die for him. Okay? Verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death, the lake of fire, has no power. You ain't never got to worry about going in there because you've already proven yourself. But they shall be priests of Elohim and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now, the people have been on the earth under Messiah's rule for 1,000 years, and up under your rule if you qualified for 1,000 years. But understand that he said, if you're going to rule with him, he's going to rule with a rod of iron. It's stiff. You mess up, judgment comes right away. Whack! You don't get to, I'm sorry. You don't obey him. He kills you. He tells us that in the book of Luke. All those that would not have me to rule over them, bring them here and kill them before me, in front of me.
Man.
His rulership on this earth for that 1,000 years is stiff. And he says, to him that overcomes, you got to rule with a rod of iron too. Can't rule different than Messiah. Okay? Verse 7, Satan is now loosed out after the 1,000 years. He's let loose to do what Satan was created to do. Satan not only deceives you, but he shows what's in you. Okay? And he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. Satan is going out to deceive them, to bring them to battle with the Most High. The number of whom is as the sand of the sea. You can't number the amount of people that rebel. I'm just showing you what's in the book so that we understand, because, you know, people be teaching, they just be teaching some stuff, and it's not what the book is saying. And they went up upon the breadth of the earth and compassed or surrounded the camp of the saints. All those that made it in the first resurrection who don't have to, who got a throne. And the beloved city. And this time, fire came down from Elohim out of heaven and devoured them. Devoured this number that is more than the sands of the sea. You can't even number them. Mosiah says, all right, you've shown your true colors. Now I'm just going to burn you up. Okay? And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Now, the beast and the false prophet and everybody that took the mark. But the first ones in there are the beast and the false prophet. Because I can show you in there that everybody that takes the mark ends up in the lake of fire as well, in the winepress of the wrath of the Most High. Okay? Where the beast and the false prophet are shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, the beast and the false prophet, these are demonic spirits. They are cast into the lake. They are already spirits. But I'm going to show you what the Most High is going to do for all the wicked and the righteous, so we understand what he's doing. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. Who's them now? Them was the righteous before, but who is this them? And I saw the dead, small and great, and stand before Elohim. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. So these books are going to be opened, the book of your works, and the book of life is going to be open. Okay? And the dead were judged of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So bring out their counting books. Let me look at your life. And the angels have been recording what you did. Okay? And you're judged of your works. Okay? And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell gave up the dead. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. What is this saying? Death and hell. Death, you're done away with. Hell, where people go to await judgment, you're done away with. There's no more death. Everybody that is resurrected now has eternal life. Everybody. Whether you were wicked or whether you were good. Because death is done away with. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, you're going to be judged according to your works. They pull out the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name has to be in that book. Remember, it said that everybody that got up during the first resurrection, they're not subject to this death, this lake of fire. Their names, they already know, are in the Lamb's Book. They suffered with him. They got to reign with him. But this is the rest of the dead, the rest of the people who got filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, who spoke in tongues, who didn't give their lives for him, though. And the wicked. So you're just according to your works. You receive 100-fold and eternal life in the kingdom if you had the Ruach, if you had the Spirit of the Most High. You get to go into the kingdom because you were his child. But if you don't have the Ruach and you went to your grave, then he's going to judge you according to your works. But the Ruach is what gets you into the kingdom. So you're going to say you never submitted yourself. You get to go to the lake. The one who's in the book of life, here's your works. Let me put your works in the fire and see which of your works you did for me and which of your works you did for yourself. And whatever's left over, that's your reward, and you get 100-fold of that. So everybody has to know that if you don't give your life for the word of Elohim or the testimony of Christ, if you're not killed, because see, there's only a certain time that you can even qualify for the rest of that verse. It's got to be when the Antichrist is on the earth, when he's coming at the saints, when he's trying to get you to take his mark and worship him. That's a certain time frame. So all through history, all those men and women who were killed for the testimony of Christ and for the word of Yah, they qualify to reign with him 1,000 years. All those people who go through the tribulation and don't take the mark of the beast, they qualify to reign with him 1,000 years. Everybody else, you lived a holy life, you died, you were faithful, you get 100-fold and eternal life. But you weren't so on fire that you gave your life literally for him. You didn't work 100% or 1,000% committed that you went out there and you preached the word and made people mad, and they killed you for the word of God because they want to hear the truth. So you got your salvation and you got your eternal life and you get into the kingdom. This is what the scripture teaches. But everybody who didn't die for him, they don't make the first resurrection. Only those that were willing and able and did actually die. They suffered the ultimate penalty. They gave their all. No greater gift than this, than a man laid down his life for his brother. They were willing to do that. So I just want us to understand that this is what it means to enter into the kingdom. This is the reward for each group. Those who give their lives literally, and for those who don't. Everybody's not waking up to a crown. Everybody's not getting up and serving him with him 1,000 years. Everybody don't qualify for that. But Messiah is going to keep his word. I'm going to give you 100-fold, and I'm going to give you eternal life. Now, I have some more understanding, which is not important right now. But the truth of the matter is, you know, you got to decide what it is that you want out of this relationship with the Most High. You got to decide what you want, what you're willing to give. Are you willing to give your all? Are you willing to lay down your life for the word of Yah and for the testimony of Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach? Or do you just want to enter into the kingdom? So I wanted to make sure that you can't say, well, that's Brother Miles' understanding. Messiah said what we get. He also says in Revelation chapter 20 what we get if we qualify. Got to be in that group. Got to be in that number. One thing for sure, you sure don't want to take the mark of the beast. That's an automatic trip to the lake.
Amen.
And we saw, after the people have been up under the Messiah for 1,000 years, says that they rebel against him and their number is as the number of the sands of the sea. So I know that people really don't want to be up under him. I know that people don't really want to obey him. That's why they're struggling. You know, when you know to do right and you don't do right, you already saying. When you're making excuses to keep doing what you're doing, you're telling Messiah already. We got to be on fire for him.
Man.
We got to be 100 for him. Man. Anything less, you'll get, you know, you keep your nose clean and what have you, you will get into the kingdom. And you'll have eternal life. But guess what? You'll still be subject to the lake of fire. That's another lesson. You see, you don't just get to do what you want to do, even in the kingdom.
Man.
Judgment comes quick. There is no more death. So if you mess up, guess where you go?
Right to the lake.
Into the lake. This is what they don't tell people, okay? And the Most High says it's going to be a blessed place. The lamb's going to lay down with the lion. There's not going to be any more sickness, any more death, any more war. So why would you ever want to mess up? You made it into the kingdom, but every new moon and every Sabbath, you got to go look on those people in the lake of fire as a reminder. Don't mess up. Because you mess up, judgment's coming quick. It ain't like today. Oh, I'm sorry. I repent. No, yeah, we got you. Bind them and throw them into the lake. And you can't die. So that's a whole nother lesson. Nevertheless, it is my job not to lord it over you, but to understand that you have rulership as well. And if the Most High chooses to speak through you, I should be able to discern that it's the Most High speaking through you. So I'm not trying to lord it over anyone, because I don't want the Most High saying, You tried to lord it over my heritage. That's your sin. I know who you belong to, and you don't belong to me. I've just been given oversight. That's why when people want to act up, I'm not running behind nobody. You got to be able to, you got to want to do right.
Amen.
So, let's go back and let's get, let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And let's get verses 19 through 23. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Yeshua, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Now, next week for Tabernacles, I will teach the same lessons I taught last year, because we've got to understand, not next week for Tabernacles, but the week after, whenever Tabernacles is coming up, and I'll look up for those dates and give those out again. But when we talk about Tabernacles, we've got to understand that the Most High made us living tabernacles. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Most High? Okay, and we are those walking and living and breathing tabernacles, just like he made Messiah. That's why it says through the veil of his flesh. When Messiah was torn on the cross, the veil in the temple was rent. The temple, that's why, you know, you got to understand that that temple represented Messiah in the heavens. When he came to earth and fulfilled the work that he was doing in the earth, when his flesh was ripped, the veil in the temple was ripped. And the Most High says, now, I'm no longer going to meet you in this temple, this building temple. I'm no longer going to meet you here. I'm going to, the fullness of the Ruach dwelled where? With Messiah. He says, I'm going to dwell in you, flesh, now. And that's where I'm going to meet you at. That's why we got to understand who we are and that we are the tabernacles. We are the place where the Most High dwells. So verse 20 again. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of Elohim, let us draw near with a true heart, with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. The Most High did a work through Mashiach. I'm no longer going to dwell in this temple, in this tabernacle made of brick and mortar. I'm no longer going to sit up here above the mercy seat. But I'm going to rip this curtain that was, that kept you, only the high priest could come in here, the curtain that didn't allow anybody else to pass, I'm going to rip it open. That curtain, the temple represented the body of Messiah. This is where I meet you at, in this temple. Now, I came down in the fullness of Messiah, and I was in the fullness of the Spirit, in the flesh of Messiah. And when you ripped his flesh open, who was released was the Father. He says, now I'm going to come and enter into all flesh that submits itself to me, and you shall be my temple. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, of the Ruach HaKodesh?
Amen.
So he says, I'm not meeting you in that temple anymore. You are my temple. You are the tabernacle. And where you go, I go. That's why we got to understand tabernacles. And you got to understand that that tabernacle was 9 months in the making. This is how I know when Messiah was born. Because the tabernacle represented him. And the tabernacle was 9 months in the making. And it was raised on the first month, on the first day of Nisan, the first day of the year. That's when it was birthed. It represented Messiah. That's also the day that he was born. Because the tabernacle was a representation of him on the earth. So just the hidden things that are there. So people wonder when Messiah was born. We know exactly when he was born. Couldn't have been born Christmas. Couldn't have been born in July. Couldn't have been born in October. Because everything is after the pattern in heaven. And the pattern of the tabernacle represented Messiah. And so, just like a baby being conceived and born 9 months later, the tabernacle was conceived. And the Most High said, go bring these, get these things and bring me a freewill offering. And make me a tabernacle after the pattern of the one in heaven. This represented Messiah. Elohim with us. He says, now when I come in the real flesh and allow you to rip that flesh, then I'm going to transfer this from that building into this flesh in this body. And when you rip, when this flesh is ripped, the release of the Ruach HaKodesh to the world, because this is where I want to dwell. Different lesson. Let me keep going. So let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, without doubting, without being double-minded, without being tempted by the things in the world. For he is faithful that promised. If you know what Messiah has promised, what he really has promised, and what he has made us, I don't understand how you could stay in sin. I don't understand how you could stay and not want to serve and love him. If we understood. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. And when you have it, will you say amen?
Amen.
All right, thank you. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. If you are doing what the Most High said to do, if you are keeping his commandments, remember, he told us the ones that he gives mercy to are the ones who are sinning ignorantly, not to those who sin willfully. Because, see, people will take this verse and say, I can come boldly to the throne of grace, and I know I've been sinning willfully. The Most High said, no, you can't. The law don't say that. And he didn't change it in the New Testament. He made it worse. He said, hey, if you sin willfully after you have come into the knowledge of truth, there is no more blood. There's no more sacrifice for you. You can't bring that. Can't come boldly. So So we learned in the scriptures in Torah, the Most High loves who? He don't love everybody. The Most High loves those who what?
Obey him.
That obey him and love him. Because he says, if you obey me, then you love me.
Absolutely.
He says, I love those that love me. Man is teaching you that, oh, he love everybody. No, he don't. That's a lie, and that's deception. If you repent of your sins and turn from your wicked ways and run toward him, yes, he'll love you and he'll forgive you. For what you do ignorantly. See, we don't want no lies. We want to know what the Most High expects, and we want to do it.
Yeah.
We want to be those people. We don't want to make it up. We don't want to take it the chance that, oh, you know what? I don't want the Most High to have mercy on me. I don't want him to have mercy, to have to have mercy. Let me put it that way. I want him to look and say, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Amen.
Enter in. I don't want to take my salvation and put it on the line and say, have mercy on me, Most High. I don't want to do that.
Amen.
I'd rather he be able to just give me grace. Because if you got to have mercy, mercy says that you are what?
Yeah.
Guilty. I'm guilty.
Okay.
I throw myself on the what? Mercy of the court.
Yep.
Be lenient with me because I'm guilty. Have mercy. We are all going to be in need of mercy, but that's not the place I want to be with him. I would rather, I wish that the Most High had shown me this stuff years ago. So before I was, when I was a young man, a youth, before teenage, that I might walk right before him my entire life. But I'm going to be in need of mercy just like everybody else, but that's not my desire. I'd rather have the relationship on a different level. So we want to be able to come boldly to the throne of grace. You got to be walking upright. You got to be walking righteous. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. The book of Romans chapter 5. And we're going to get verses 1 through 5. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with Elohim through our Lord or our Master and our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of Elohim. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. Got to go through something. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of Elohim is shed abroad in our hearts by the Ruach HaKodesh, which is given unto us. So we want to walk in him. We want to be in him. We want to walk by faith. If you can't know, just like I said, you should be asking the Most High to have the same experience as far as the Ruach HaKodesh goes as these apostles had. As it is written, so that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know. but our faith in him and what he did. Because, see, none of us can actually see the resurrection. None of us can actually see the kingdom as the Most High has said it's going to be. We can't see it in front of us, so we have to believe it by faith. But when you experience the things that are in this book, it's to increase your what? Faith. And there comes a point with certain things that you go beyond faith. Because you don't need faith for what you know.
Amen.
You need faith for what you don't know. You believe it through faith. I don't know it, but I believe it. Haven't seen it, but I believe it. But when you have experienced some things, if the Most High appears to you, you don't have to believe by faith that he exists anymore. You saw him. You know.
No. Amen.
So, we want to believe because of the Ruach that is given to us. That's why I say, when you're filled, then you want to experience that thing so that you can believe because of the Ruach. And believe that the Most High has chosen you. And if he's chosen, then you ought to do what? Walk in it. In full faith, knowing who you are and what you are. And esteem it. I am a child of the Most High Elohim. I represent the Most High Elohim. Can't represent him doing all these other things. I got to come correct. Got to come correct. Okay. This priesthood means that the people need no intermediary save HaMashiach to represent them before Yah. You don't have to come to me to pray for you. You should be able to do what?
Pray for yourself.
Pray for yourself. You should be able to go straight to HaMashiach and ask him to intervene on your behalf.
Amen.
Hence, Yah may speak to the body at any time through the humblest saint. He is not bound to speak only through the official channels. Hence, each covenant fellowship partner must be allowed to voice the move of the Holy Spirit within them. And Elohim-fearing leaders will always be attentive to the voice of the Spirit and willing to obey at once if Yah's word should come to the body from that source. If Yah chooses to speak through the body, through somebody in the body, then the leaders need to be able to hear that. Yet the final decision must remain with oversight and ultimately with the chief priest, who is responsible under Yah for the welfare of the body and accountability for the body and the flock given to him. So when it comes to, you don't really need me to pray for you. You should be able to pray for yourself. You should be able to approach the throne yourself. But there's still the authority in the body that the Most High has given. And the structure. So we can't be just this wild, wild west and everybody doing their own thing. The body must function as a theocracy. In any growing congregation, there will be people at all stages of spiritual growth and maturity. For that reason, it is usually not proper to submit the affairs of the body to the democratic vote, as the same is not Yah's way. It's not Yah's way to have a democratic vote. What do the people say? Let's vote. For the purpose of the body, it is not to do the will of the majority. but the will of Yah. So I never bring something to the body and say, let's vote on this, and we're going to move this way. We're going to always do what is the will of the Most High. Because it's not a democratic body. In the democratic body, the majority decide what's going to be done. In a theocracy, only the Most High decides what's going to be done. And if we look in this Bible, we will never find where the Most High says, get the majority vote. Except for when it came to what? Electing somebody to replace an apostle. But when it comes to his will, and they were voting to see what his will was in it. So let's stop here for today. It is not the job of the pastor to rule over the people of the Most High. You got to realize that the Most High also speaks to his people, and that he fills his people also with his spirit. Before, he didn't do that. Now he does. And so his people, being filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, also need to know when they are supposed to submit themselves. And what I see is a lot of people running around like the Wild Wild West. Everybody got a song. Everybody got a doctrine.
Amen.
Everybody got an opinion.
Amen, bro.
And Paul even says that. You have to submit yourselves to authority. That being said, let's bow our heads. Father, yeah, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for truth, Father. We thank you that each and every one of us, Father, you have equipped, that you could use any of us if it be your desire. All we got to do is make ourselves available, that clean vessel that you desire to dwell in, that you desire to use. Father, we want to not only make it into the kingdom, but Father, is our desire to rule with you 1,000 years. That means that we, Father, are willing unto the giving of our lives to serve and worship you. Father, bless each and every person. Put it upon them. Convict them in their hearts to walk in your ways, to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, thereby showing that they love you. And you say that you will have mercy on them that love you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
And
all right. On tomorrow night, I will be traveling tomorrow during the day. We will have Shabbat service tomorrow night. As usual, we have the Feast of Trumpets coming up on the 6th. That is also the new moon service. First day of the month. Happens to also be this month. Happens to be the Feast of Trumpets as well. We will be in observance on the 6th, the night of the 6th, which is really the 7th. But the night of the 6th, that evening, we will celebrate the new moon and trumpets. I pray that everybody is preparing. Come and let us summon the Most High, because this is when he came down to show himself and introduce himself to Israel. And I really believe that he's coming back during that time. He don't just give us these days, just as he did it in the past, he will do it again in the future.
Amen. He changed not.
He changed not. So just as he showed himself to Israel during trumpets, and he said that the difference is he's going to blank out the sun, he's going to blank out the moon, he's going to blank out the stars. And the only thing we're going to see is him.
Amen.
Lighting up the sky. Coming down so that all the world will see him.
Man.
So we want to be in observance. We want to be celebrating. Then we want to celebrate tabernacles. We want to celebrate the Day of Atonement. And everybody be in attendance. So with that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Oh, wait a minute. I make a motion to call this meeting, to adjourn this meeting before we go through all that. Can I have a second?
I second.
All right. Amen. And can all in favor say aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the ayes have it. All right. Don't know where everybody was at tonight. We'll see. I know, like I said, I know I got some people with some hurt feelings. I'll call them and see where they're at, what they're doing. Nevertheless, you know, we got to keep moving on. Yeah, I will do what he's going to do. So I pray that everybody is here for Sabbath service tomorrow night. I'll be doing it from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, from the hotel room there. And then I will put out the lessons to come for the weekend, for Shabbat. That being said, may the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But Yah Elohim, I can't love you like he loves you. Shalom.
Shalom, bro.
Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and
filled with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do?